Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, which can be found on page 1174 of the Pew Bibles and in the Blue Bibles on page 2064. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 34, and then verses 53 to 56. This can be found on page 109 of the Pew Bibles and 1783 of the Blue Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And now to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word, the word of life which you've given us. Open it to us today, we pray, and open our hearts to receive it, that it may bear fruit and we may be transformed more into the likeness of your Son through this. We ask it in his name. Amen. Now, our news sheets for both last week and today include some comments made by children about their experience during the recent prayer space week at Harwell School. Some of you may have helped, but a lot of you may not know what happened, so I'll just review briefly. During the week, class by class, children visited a tent which had been put up on the school field. And inside that, there were four areas. The children were invited in groups of three or four at a time to visit each area in turn. They spent about 8 minutes. in each area. In the first one, they were invited to ask, just to think about somebody or something that they felt they needed to pray for, and to write their requests on a little post-it note. And all these post-it notes were then invited to stick them on a tall glass column, about this high, with coloured water in it, and which had a little pump at the bottom, and air bubbles were rising up inside. So it was a kind of picture of what we believe happens to our prayers. We offer them to God. And the thing was absolutely plastered. This column was plastered with post-it notes. All sorts of requests on, you see. So that was the first area. Second area, they were invited to say sorry. Something they'd said, perhaps an unkind word, something they'd done that was unkind, or maybe they'd forgotten to do something at home. Whatever it was, they were invited to reflect on that and to come to God and to say sorry. The third area, they found themselves in front of a mirror. They're invited to look at themselves and say, just think, you know, well, God's made me like this, and we are very remarkable, very wonderful, how our bodies work and so on. And to be thankful for that, and to ask for God's blessing. And the final area, the fourth one, they were invited to sit down on some lovely soft cushions and to take a jar, a glass jar, in which there was some coloured water, and it also contained some little sparkly bits of aluminium. And to turn this upside down and just watch these little sparkly bits fall down and just relax. So that's what happened. And at the end, they were invited to make some comments. And Peter Shields put in our last week's news sheet some of those. And here we go. We've got one here that says, I liked the sorry area because you can say sorry for what you've done and then rub it out and forget it. I enjoyed the calm area because it gave me time to be still and focus on one thing. It was really fun, and my favourite part was with the Be Still jars. That's the jars with the coloured sparkly bits, of coloured water and sparkly bits in. And it was relaxing. Cool, because I felt relaxed and calm. I really enjoyed the Be Still zone. I hope they keep coming. Whether it's the Be Still zones that are expected to come or the visitors, I don't know. Anyway, the point was, it was a good message there. In fact, one little girl found the session I was looking after in the Be Still zone so relaxing that she fell asleep. Well, she looked as if she had on the cushion. There we are. Now, what might these comments of the children about relaxing, because a lot of them are about that, but what are they saying to us? Something I think about life being very, very busy. And that's not least in view, in part, to the seemingly round-the-clock texting and email that goes on. Emailing. Many of these messages seem to be demanding from us an instant response. And of course, it's much easier to ask questions than to provide the answers. A consequence, I think, of all this is that there's a blurring of the boundary between what we do at work and at school and in our home and leisure activities. It all kind of gets mixed up. And then, of course, there's an awful lot of social chat going on. As a result, many of us become just so busy, busy, busy. And so, relating to our iPhone or whatever it is, our smartphone, you know, that we see people walking along the pavement and stepping off the edge, still glued to the screen, unaware, it seems, of the traffic and the other hazards that are in front of them. So it's a kind of withdrawal for many people, it seems. Our lives, I think, become so active that we may overlook the need to allow enough time to unwind and to rest. Of course, Marx just told us something about the need for that, and Jesus sensed it with his disciples, who'd just been off on a long commission to tell people the good news, to minister to them two by two, and they came back to report to him. They were absolutely exhausted, it seems, and he said to them what we've just heard read, verse 31 of the Gospel. He said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. So Jesus understood that his followers needed some time out. That's why they went off in the boat together, to get away from this incessant busyness of the crowds that Jesus at this time attracted wherever he went. You might say that here that there are two dangers when we think about all this. The first is of being constantly active, just touch on that, always on the go. Some people, indeed some churches, are a bit like that. Now if that is us, and we don't spend enough time with God, we shall be unable to have our batteries recharged. For we are not quiet enough before him. We shall be in danger of suffering from burnout. It may be that this particular incident in Mark gives us the first example of ministry burnout. So that's one hazard. What we need then is time for rest, because no human being can forever pour themselves out without a break. If we do not spend time before God, we will not be able to introduce others to him. And a second danger might be that we withdraw too much from everything. Devotion should lead to action. To turn to God is not to turn away from our fellow beings, but to be prepared for caring and sharing with them in an effective way. So we need a balance in our Christian lives between being in the presence of God for refreshment, guidance and renewal, and doing, going out to people. As Christians, we need to go to God first, so that when we go to people, then we have him in our hearts. Let's just think back about those disciples. Did they get their time away with Jesus, their time of rest and recreation? Well, no, they didn't. Because when they got to their beach and the boat was anchored, it wasn't the quiet place they longed for anymore. Crowds began to gather. They'd heard probably that he was coming already, seen him on the lake. And Mark tells us they were like sheep without a shepherd. And, he goes on to say, Jesus had compassion on them and began to teach them many things. So there we are. That's the first point we can gather from our readings this morning, I think. This need for balance between being and doing. It's true if we want to be healthy human beings enjoying life, if we're to be effective in our jobs, whatever we do for a living, whether we're in secular employment or ministry in the church. We all need time out to rest. And when we turn to the bit from Ephesians, what do we see there? What can that tell us? Well, first of all, we see here in two verses a picture of what the church is or should be. Verses 21 and 22. Let's find those. Here we are. What do they say? In him, that's in Christ, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So that's the picture he's using here to describe the community of Christians, in this case in Ephesus. It is a dwelling place for God. It's at the temple of the Lord, where the Holy Spirit is, amongst the community of Christians. So that's a very valuable picture to hold on to. Now, let's think a bit about all that. We who have come to faith in Christ are, it tells us, built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Now, in this morning's service of Holy Communion, we are recalling and rehearsing together what God has done for us and what he's called us to be and to do. And as in a little while we take the bread and the wine, we are reminded of Jesus' self-giving and of the hope that we've been given ourselves. We're affirmed as members of this community of faith, this place where the Holy Spirit is dwelling. And through worship, praise and thanksgiving together as a community, we are refreshed and, I would say, recreated. Within this group, we learn to love and serve one another. Also, as the body of Christ in this village,
we're called to love and serve those amongst whom we live. So, summing up, two things. This need for a balance between being, rest, and doing. How valuable that is to have this time for rest, because we live very busy lives, and we need time to unwind and to relax. We heard just now, Jesus understood the need for this, so that his followers eventually, we hope, did have times when they were able to unwind. Secondly, we all need to be recreated in the image of Jesus. So it's rest and recreation, you see. That's what we can take away from this morning. Not just as individuals, but as a community. Through our worship together, our praise, our thanksgiving, they all help us to be shaped into the body of Christ in this place, and also to be equipped to serve and love those amongst whom we live. Because when we are shaped like that as a community, we are better enabled to take the love of God out to those amongst whom we live. For they are, as the reading told us, the gospel reading, sheep without a shepherd. They live in this contemporary pluralist society. People believing all sorts of things or nothing at all. People who want to belong, but often remain isolated, lacking direction in life, often without hope, seeing life only in terms of problems and difficulties, having spiritual hunger, but not knowing in which direction to look for it to be satisfied. Now, it is for these that we're here. It is to these that we're called to minister in Jesus' name. Will they find, through us, by God's grace, what they're looking for? So in conclusion, let's remember, Jesus did not write a book. He created a community. Today we call it the church. And as William Temple, sometime Archbishop of Canterbury, a very long time ago, said, the church exists solely for those who are outside it. Amen.